When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I assume, all I have is assumptions here, because we knew he coached under Greg Popovich. We knew we know that he coached Tatum and Brown and Marcus and I think Kemba in the World Games.
That's right. Yep. That's where all four of them went.
Yeah,
yep.
That seems like that's where they got a sign off from those players. So we know very little about him other than that. Know that he's the thing I keep hearing is, and I guess it's true, is that Nia Long, the actress, is his girlfriend and is
that took all but 40 seconds to get into, huh, Max? There you go, Nia Long.
That's one of the things I know about him.
The big girls love that. Chicks love the last shot opportunity. Somebody give me a napkin so I can wipe my mouth.
All right, another episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone. He is, of course, Cedric Maxwell. Max, one hell of a week. Brand new coach announced. Ime Udoka is your brand new coach of the Boston Celtics. I mean, I'm sure you've been talking about it all week. I've been talking about it all week. But here we are this weekend. We've had a few days. What's your take on it? You know, what's your immediate reaction compared to how you feel now, I guess, about this move? Because as everyone else is saying, right, it checks all the boxes, right? He checks all the boxes.
I'm going to do my shoulders like this so you'll understand it. I'm not sure if it works, but, you know, I used to say, ask my kids, why'd you do that? And they'll go, it's like, I assume, all I have is assumptions here, because we knew he coached under Greg Popovich. We knew, we know that he coached Tatum and Brown and Marcus and I think Kemba in the World Games.
That's right. Yep. That's where all four of them went.
Yeah.
Yep.
That seems like that's where they got a sign off from those players. So we know very little about him other than that. Know that he's the thing I keep hearing is, and I guess it's true, is that Nia Long, the actress, is his girlfriend and his
that took all but 40 seconds to get into, huh, Max? There you go.
That's one of the things I know about him. I don't know anything else. I know he bounced around the NBA for a while.
He spent a lot of time in San Antonio, though, right? Yeah, I mean, that's the part that stands out in his resume.
But, you know, yeah. I think that his coaching style will be seen when he actually gets these players to see if he does anything anew.
Yeah, sort of reminds me in a way, obviously it's a completely different coach, but like when Brad Stevens got the job, remember, it was like no one knew a whole lot about him. You knew what he did with Butler in that program, getting to the Final Four, and, you know, that story about it. And then we had to see him, you know, those first few months, how he was as a coach. So that's true. But
here's the thing, though, too. Brad was a head coach already in college. We don't know what Doka, he's been a assistant coach.
An assistant, right.
I don't think he's been a head coach any place, you know, any other kind of league. So, you know, moving over into the big chair, as they like to say, you know, another 6 inches over to the side, really changed the perspective of how you handle teams and what you're going to do.
Right. Well, what stands out the most from his resume is obviously his time with San Antonio and the experience he had there. What I like most about it is what he did against the Miami Heat, you know, those back-to-back appearances in the NBA Finals. And I'm saying what he did, right, like as if he was playing.
That's the point
you're making. I'm thinking about Tatum and Brown, though. I'm thinking about them taking in those series. You know, they were in high school around that time, you know, or, you know, they remember that stuff. So I think that resonates with them. And obviously the relationship that
what was his decision making? You know, were there decisions that he had to make or implement? You know, sometimes as an assistant coach, one thing sometimes that happens is that, like, Tom Thibodeau was under Doc Rivers. he was the defensive coach. And
the defensive guru.
All those principles and all those systems. I haven't heard this about this coach being a specialist in any area. So that's one of the things I want to see.
Well, I'm hearing his defense. You know, I'm hearing that he was a big part of that. And that's the experience that I think bodes well with this group, because they went far. That's one heck of a program to come from. That's one heck of a school to come from, the Greg Popovich school. And he spent, you know, nearly a decade there. So I think that bodes well for these guys, that experience. But in contrast to Chauncey Billups, I know you were big on that. What do you think? You know, are you feeling like they could have waited this thing out? Would you rather see the Celtics go and get Chauncey, or are you just going to like wait and see? You're going to trust Brad on this one, his decision?
I'm gonna trust what the team wanted to do. I mean, I'm sure that Brad had to do the interviewing process. He kind of knew what he wanted. But again, in my eyes, Chauncey was the man because of his relationship with Kevin Garnett, his relationship being a Boston Celtic before as a player, and his general theme of knowing players, you know, the way he does, as maybe even a recruiter, you know, yeah. once you went there. I don't know that much about Doka when it comes to that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point. I mean, you have to assume that Tatum and Brown they were consulted on something, on a decision like this, and maybe this is their guy. Maybe mm-hmm. that was the decision. But, you know, their opinion weighed in. It ultimately led to this. You know, we will never know for sure, but I mean, you have to think that, because if you're Brad Stevens, like, that's the best way to get this team rolling into the next era, if you will.
I think that you definitely want your two stars to have an imprint on who that coach is, considering, you know, where he's coaching, how he's coaching, his system. And then he had to cultivate a relationship with those players when he was in the World Games. So I think that really helped out, you know, from their standpoint about checking those boxes.
Right. You think Brad's 2 for 2? I think he's 2 for 2.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, like this. I mean, those systems, Brad coming in and you know, with Brad taking the job, with Brad making his first trade, with Brad getting a coach and doing that the right way. Yeah, I feel real good about these decisions that have been made so far.
Yeah, it's been a wild offseason. And, of course, the NBA playoffs is still rolling.
But add on that to get your boy back, Al Horford, coming back into the fold.
I love it. You know how I feel about that.
Somehow bringing Anna Horford back into the fold.
You know she's back into the fold. She was always sort of in Celtics Nation, though. She was always sort of part of it from a distance. She always was repping. So now she doesn't have to hide it anymore.
I love when, I think it was one tweet that she had added up there and said, "We're back, baby. We're back." It's like, okay.
All of a sudden the fans are like, So what's next, Max? I mean, the point guard position obviously is sort of, everyone's wondering how's Brad going to address that? Does he go big? Does he try to bring in a second tier guard into the mix and get the keys to Marcus Smart? I mean, what do you think happens there?
Well, I think you look at the several things that have happened. Are you going to let Evan Fournier? You're going to let him walk? That's another thing that they have to
address.
But now address that. Move Kimba's contract, maybe you're putting Evan in a position like that, but I know he's not a point. He's a two. His ball handling is okay, but it isn't.
Would you bring him back?
I would love to bring him back. Yeah, I'd love to bring him back, especially as a shooter. I mean, I don't think you can have enough shooters, you know, in your camp. But he was at $17 million before this contract ended. What are you going to do to keep him? And will you match a contract by another team? I think that's one of the things what you have to think about.
Well, you also have to think about next summer, right? Because you're getting about $20 million cut. You know, you're shaving off $20 million of cap with the trade you did with Kemba Walker, you know, for Al Horford. So that's good. And you're sort of positioning yourself to be a player next summer, right? I mean, 2022, the Celtics could put themselves in a position to maybe make a splash with, I don't know, a Bradley Beal. You know, that name's been connected with the Celtics, obviously, because of his relationship with Jason Tatum. You know, that's one route. But that's going to be difficult if you have someone like Evan Fournier, you know, on the books, or if you re-up Marcus Smart. Do you deal Marcus Smart? Obviously, that conversation is, you know, people talking about that could be a possibility this upcoming summer. What do you think Brad is, you know, in his position right now, what's best for this team? Do you address the point guard position, or do you sort of try to position yourself for next summer?
I think if you look at Brad is a visionary, and he knows as his job now as that guy, Danny, is to look forward. Instead of a coach right now, he stays in the present. Brad has to start thinking in a whole nother mode. And if you're Brad Stevens, I think you want to have as much flexibility as you can. And right. If you do sign Evan, then I think what it does, it ties your hands that much more. Or do you want to go back with somebody like Marcus Smart? Essentially, when Marcus Smart was out there before, you know, he didn't get those kind of offers that he felt he should have gotten. And I think eventually, you know, you say at $16 million, they settled at $16 million. Will that change this year? You know, has Marcus elevated his stock? Because to me, Marcus should. Because, I how I feel about Marcus. He's such a – he's a game changer, and he's a winner. And you don't have many of those. Even if Marcus Smart misses a shot, I know he's ready to take the shot. And there's a lot of guys in this league who would rather make that pass than shoot that shot.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I like him, and I think that you need him. And his relationship with Tatum and Brown, that's a really great relationship. So yeah. I would really want to
keep agree with that.
And if he gave me any kind of hometown discount, he'd be the guy. He would be the guy I want to keep before anybody else. Guys, I just want to take a second and talk about Marigold. With their stem cell research has been amazing. I went and did an evaluation, and I ended up getting a shot. And I'm hoping right now I'm going to be back on the court. These guys were brilliant. They communicate well. They give you an education on what it's like. And that is what really, to me, won me over, because not only were they going to give me an operation, a procedure, but they were going to educate me about this procedure. And in learning and being comfortable, that is how you get well, and that's how you become partners. And my big shout out to those guys. They did a fantastic job. Check them out at marigoldmedical.com. That's the place to be.
I would love to see the Celtics put him, you know, in that position to lead this team, you know, full time, not on some temporary basis. Whereas that was sort of last year, right? It was sort of like, yeah, you're in there, but Kemba's going to be coming back, you know. And then we didn't see, you know, what was going to happen with Kemba, you know, ultimately getting shut down. That this would be different, right? Going into the season would be like, okay, Marcus, you had the keys. Let's see what you got. It's a contract year. Let's see if your playmaking abilities. I mean, he impressed me a bit with his playmaking abilities.
You think about
the shot selection, you know, the things that people complain about. We'll see how he meshes with his brand new head coach. You know, that'll be interesting between those.
I think the thing that you look at it, Marcus really was the best playmaker that they had.
Absolutely. I agree.
I mean, Kemba wasn't the playmaker like that. Everybody else essentially didn't pack. He had a great relationship with Robert Williams, with the little passes and the lobs. His touch was great.
People slept on that. People slept on his playmaking.
Yeah, so I think that his ability to set guys up and make them better on the offensive end is kind of gone for naught.
Right. I agree with that. Like, I'm not one of those guys that's out here saying, oh, the Celtics have to get a top tier of point guard, or maybe not even a top tier in the sense of a score first kind of point guard, but someone like Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons, you know, those kind of guys. I just don't think the Celtics have enough to pull off a deal like that right now. The assets aren't there.
With Ball, I don't know. I think Ball could be a lot easier than the Simmons.
That would be a lot easier. Yeah, he's a lot cheaper, right, Max? Yeah, let's keep it 100. He's a whole lot cheaper.
Simmons is at that $30 million, you know, max, and And he has to do a lot of repair before he's going to help anybody's team. Because Philly can say whatever they want to say. When we're not going to trade him. You know, he's not going anyplace. Well, they better put him in some kind of time lab, because that Philly fan base next year, if he comes back and he's not shooting the basketball, they're going to be, they're already memes and all that stuff about him. They are going to really, you know, tear him a new one if he's not more aggressive on the offensive end.
I think after what Doc said, when he was asked point blank, is this a championship team, you know, with a point guard like Ben Simmons, and he just said, I'm not sure. I think that just says it all right there, that he's on the move.
But then Doc Rivers later on came back and changed his tune and said, yeah, we can win a championship with Simmons.
He's going to make him shoot. Remember I said that? He's gonna listen to me this time. Remember I said that before last year?
That was the argument last year. That was me and you had the same discussion. You were like, Doc Rivers is going to make him shoot. I said,
why would that sound like that? Why would that sound like that?
That's what you're saying. You want me?
Doc Rivers is going to make him shoot.
Well, okay. Hold on. Doc, I can't do it in your accent, but what do you want me to say? He's going to make Doc Rivers is going to make him shoot.
That's a little better.
He's not going to make him shoot. He's scared to shoot from the outside. And we've seen that. And when he plays with Embiid, it seemed like it only gets worse than better.
You're the third or fourth
option on that team when it comes to scoring. I mean, you think Tobias Harris and Embiid, and then there are times when they'll pick somebody else on that team to be a scorer, and it's never Ben Simmons.
It just reminds me a lot of Rondo. Like, it was like Doc was like, listen, you're going to get these open shots. You have to take them. And it was a lot of the times where he would hesitate, or he would even be afraid to get fouled and go to the free throw line because he was afraid to make them, especially in the later years when they leaned on him to be more, you know, productive offensively. But what happened? He started shooting more. He got more comfortable. I never understood why Doc wasn't so adamant about that from the moment he stepped into that situation. Listen, Ben, we're going to get you know, some shots up little by little, whatever it takes, but we have to address this.
I am sure that he did.
Ben just ignored him?
You can't make a guy shoot if he doesn't want to. You can't. I don't care how it looks. A guy can hide from the ball. He can do anything. But if he wants it, you want it. If you don't, you don't. It didn't do him any favors at all when Joel Embiid said, you know, I'd like to apologize for my knee. Joel Embiid could have said, damn it, you know what? Me and Sim, we're coming back here. We're going to win this thing. Right. We're going to win it. And then what it did is instills confidence. But what you haven't heard any of those voices say, you know, no, it's not Sim. He's good. You haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's true. They haven't really said much. All right, so what about Lonzo Ball? What would it take? What would be your godfather offer if you're Brad Stevens? I would love to see Lonzo Ball in this team.
My godfather offer with Lonzo Ball would have to be probably Marcus Smart, trade for trade. I think that they would be willing to, you know, because I think they would love to have Marcus Smart as a defender.
Well, it would have to be a sign and trade, though. That's the thing. And, you know, you throw in Thompson. I'm guessing, obviously, you throw in a couple of future picks. And I'm just thinking, one, is Lonzo going to okay the trade? And two, if you're New Orleans, you're like, that's it? You know, I don't know if that gets it done. Robert Williams, if you throw him in there, does that make them even more excited about the deal? I don't know. But that would be my godfather offer, you know. Yeah. But is that – you know, if you're New Orleans, you're like,
But that's where we keep going. I mean, to me, I don't know how much better this team is with those small changes that you've talked about, cosmetic changes you talk about. I mean, I just don't know.
A playmaker like Lonzo Ball would make a huge difference.
I think he'd be good as a point, but I think then you lose, you know, your defender and Marcus. You know, maybe the other way around. So, you know, you're not going to have Alonzo Ball and Marcus Smart on the floor together as a guards, are you? Guard combo. Because you wouldn't have a shooter out there. So There are a lot of issues that this team has to address. And that's why I think it's, you know, to me, that's why Brad is the best at doing this, because he knows the weaknesses and the strengths of this team. And that's why I think it's great to have him in that position, because I think he'll be even closer. And I said something the other day on the news that got people excited. And we were talking about Danny's relationship. And I said, well, maybe sometimes Danny was just a little bit too close to the players. Because how many times have we seen, you know, Danny with his arms holding the player, talking to him, or going through. Normally, general managers of teams are in the background. They're in there. You know, you don't see Sean Marks down there in Brooklyn right now, you know, pulling those guys to the side. Like, you know, maybe he would do it if it was at a practice. But how many times you've seen Danny at a game, you know, in the middle of that? So I think that's another change that's going to be different between Brad and Danny. Maybe the relationship, or the lack of relationship, that personal relationship that you would have with players.
This episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing now. BetOnline.ag isn't just about sports. If you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline has other options such as award shows, TV shows, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Head over to BetOnline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Now, don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert.
You know what else I've noticed? The pace. And I know it's early, but Brad's not wasting any time. Where I feel like Danny sometimes would sort of take his time with deals, right? He would sort of get pieces little by little. Some people would argue that he took a little too long to trade some of those assets, you know, that he stacked up, you know, 5 years ago, when he had nothing but pretty much what OKC's treasure chest is. It wasn't quite as much, but something similar to what they're doing over there, just stacking up first round picks, you know. And some people say that he was a little too, he held on to those a little too long. And maybe Brad's going to be different. You know, Brad's going to be very different.
I mean, Brad's already different by pulling the trigger, saying, hey, take some of these assets, take some of these picks we have. Let's swap here and swap there. So,
you know, let's get this going.
Situation,
he's got ideas. He's like, let's do this. So I like it. I like the direction he's doing.
Here's the thing that I like that I think out of Brad is you take more of the emotions out of it. And I think Brad, because he's so analytical, I think he's going to be maybe even more so about picking players. You know, because you remember Brad in many games. You don't see Brad like Celtics make a winning shot. Brad like pumping his fist.
Right.
Brad turns around and goes stone and walks right to the locker room. Now, he might be excited in there, whatever, but
I remember after one game winner, he just did one of these, just went.
I have not seen him one time. Like you said, it's like, you know.
Like Doc, remember Doc? Like,
Doc
would be like.
Like one of those. I have not seen one of those.
Like Doc would try to contain it, but he couldn't help it sometimes.
And I like that when players do that. I love that.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. What was I going to say? I was going to say something else about I wonder how much say he had in these deals, man, especially the last couple of years. Obviously, the last offseason, people weren't feeling the Jeff Teague signing, and look what happened, and the Tristan Thompson, and, you know, the potential what if, the trade that I guess could have happened, no one really knows for sure, that could have happened between the Pacers and them and involving Gordon Hayward and a sign and trade. Maybe Brad, there was a lot that he wanted to do that he just didn't have the power to, and now we're seeing him put the team in a direction that he believes is going to put them in a space to win a championship, win a title.
I mean, I think Brad is one of these guys that you and I have talked about before. You know, you talk about you went on the hood and you're going, stay in your lane, dog. Stay in your damn lane. How many times you driven your car in Boston, you're going, yo, man, stay in your damn lane.
Stay in your lane. Well, I'm over here, you over there. Yeah,
and that's the same thing you talk about a general manager and a coach. You might want some things, but there's not a lot of stuff. Unless you're like Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick has all the lanes. He's driving them all up. He picks him. He's a general manager, contracts. Bill does all that. And he's done a great job of wearing all those hats. To me, not a lot of people can wear so many hats. Mm-hmm. And, you and I are going to talk a little bit about, you know, Bill Russell being inducted in the Hall of Fame as a coach.
Right.
And I thought about it initially. I'm like, well, he only won one championship. Then I thought about it again. I said, he won one championship. And he
won two. He won two.
He was a
player, player coach.
He was a player coach. I think he only won one as a player coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was two as a coach, but one was as a player, one strictly as a coach. Yeah.
You know, I just a player coach, and you look at you going, that's a hell of an accomplishment. Because not a lot of guys in the NBA. I mean, Lenny Wilkins did it at one time, was a player coach. Not a lot of guys have done it and been successful the way Bill was in order to win the championship. So I like that situation.
So he was the first black head coach, right? It's not even Udoka.
Yeah. Come on, man. Are you really going to let Jay slide on this? Seriously, are you really going to go there?
I mean, can't believe you're going to let Jay slide on it. Did you see what Jalen Rose said? That little subtle dig?
I heard what he said, but I don't. Jay Williams, to me, is very intelligent. We basketball savvy. Knows the game inside out. Why would he even say something like that or tweet something like that if one of his friends was Doc Rivers? That would make no sense at all.
Max, he has this whole racist, Boston so racist that this has to be true. It was like a brain leak. He wanted to get the message out right when the news dropped, and he didn't think about it.
He had the relationship with Doc Rivers already. So that's why I can't go there. If he said it was hacked, his account was hacked, why don't people believe him?
Because, Max, think about how
intelligent he's being.
Who would want to put that out there to embarrass him like that? That's the way you embarrass him? And then the next tweet, you say, oh, look out, Chris Paul is back.
Well, I think...
Was that him or the hacker? Which one was that?
And then three hours later,
you apologize. Or you say you got it.
I don't know what the hell. All I know is we've all been in that situation. Well, you get a text from your friends, and what did they tell you? Don't believe what was just said because my account has been hacked. And they'll ask you, it'll be something trivial, sometimes something stupid, and you're going, wow, why'd you? And then you'll get that next text saying, I've been hacked, so forget about it. You know, so that's why I believe, you know, people hack people all the time. I had somebody to come at me about.
I think he knew better, but I just think he had a brain fart, man. He just wasn't thinking. He
is too intelligent, too on top of the game to make that mistake. And then that's just me in a nutshell. I want receipts. I don't believe there was a hidden agenda.
Jay, show me your receipts.
I don't believe that.
I want to see an email from Twitter support. I want to see emails from Twitter support. I want to see a screenshot of Your account is safe now. I want timestamps. I want it all, man. I want receipts. He's trying to bury this, man. I don't want a receipt from a.
This
is exactly what he knew. This is what his PR guy told him. He said,
"I'm not looking for a receipt. I'm not looking for one. I mean, this is a guy. I would be shocked and appalled if, in fact, because it could have been." Somebody who was his handler for his Twitter account. It could have been something like that. Everybody doesn't do everything they say.
So he didn't want to throw him under the bus? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
it could have been. He didn't want to throw his publicist under the bus or whoever it was.
Possible, but I
maybe.
Jay Williams, to me, is much too smart for that. Much too smart.
That's true. I was surprised, Max. You think about it.
When you've seen Jay Williams talk, most of the time you heard him talk, he's very smart at what he's saying. He gets to his points. He gets in. He gets out. I can't remember a time that I looked at him like, Jay, what the hell are you talking about? You know, it's like I never remember that. So that's what I'm saying with him. It's like,
I can't buy that one.
I'm just surprised, man. I thought you'd be the first one to be like, man, that dude messed up.
Nah, because he said my account was hacked. So why can't we just believe that?
That's like the go-to excuse, man.
This is the same Joe Sway who is a conspiracy theory guy. You know,
not about everything, just about something.
You are one of these guys that look at conspiracy
I'm not one of those guys, because those guys, they got like 27 conspiracy theories. I got like four. All right.
You got four. And this could be number five.
this might be number four, actually.
Yeah.
All right, let me get you out on this one. Portland Trailblazers, new head coach Chauncey Billups. The relationship between him and Dame, obviously Dame had a lot to say after he was after the Trailblazers were eliminated. He was talking about Jason Kidd, but Jason Kidd is going to be heading to Dallas to lead the Mavericks. So, yeah. What is this a tough spot for Chauncey? You know, going into this, well, how do you feel about it?
Why is this no pressure?
There's not a lot of pressure here.
Not a lot of pressure going into Portland. He has a great play. Now the pressure is going to be that you have to advance in the playoffs. Because Dame is going to be a point where Dame is already complaining, saying,
"That's what I'm saying.
How patient do I have to be?"
To win, he knows the cap space and all that. He knows that they're not in the great spot.
Win immediately, that could be the pressure that you're talking about. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
But I like the hire. Any place that Chauncey went, I would have been on board.
I like the dynamic of that relationship. I like, in my mind, seeing Chauncey tell him, yo, man, I've been there. You know, I've been through it. I went through a lot to get to the, you know, finally reach the mountaintop.
Absolutely. Because Chauncey was, from an NBA standpoint, he wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He really wasn't. Right.
Third overall pick.
Third overall pick, that was really cool. But then it just went away. Mm-hmm. He's a guy, Chauncey could have been out of this league, over Europe, wherever he wanted to be, and making another splash, and he didn't do that. And then he bounced around, came to Detroit, found a home, and became one of the best point guards in the NBA. So
Mr. Big Shot.
It's really cool.
Yeah, man, it's really cool. Bounced around the league a bit, battled with injuries in Denver, you know, everything. And when people just when people were questioning him, or at least saying that he was one of those guys that was never going to pop and be an all-star, that's when he turned it around. You know, and he was around 30 when that happened. So I just like the similarities between him and what Dame's going through right now.
Yeah, and you said point guards being a point guard in the league is the most difficult position, especially a young one, because not only are you trying to find your game, but you're trying to make other people around you better. And you know, I even think about Dame. When it comes to watching him operate, how many times has he been patient enough to let CJ McCollum do his thing, or this person or that person do their thing? Then all of a sudden he goes,
Dame time. Oh, it's unbelievable, man. So that's one of those guys. It's just, he puts on a show. Like, it's just must see TV when he's going.
He's that dude, man. He is that dude.
He's arguably
one of my favorite players. And then when, I think it was one of my last times in Portland, well, almost 2 years ago now.
You love Portland.
When Dame was at the game, and he didn't play that particular game against the Celtics, and he was dressed in a red suit. And it was a fly-ass red suit. It wasn't one of them bogus Jimmy John, whatever. No, some designer that hooked it up. He was wearing it well, had some banging watch on.
Probably a custom joint.
He's a throwback to, you know, who he reminds me of from a cool standpoint. He reminds me of watching Walt Frazier. Just cool, laid back, in the cut. I got this thing. Don't worry about it.
I like that. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens in Portland next year for sure.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's a wrap for this episode of the Cedric Maxwell Podcast. Max, you got anything else before we get up out of here?
I'm good. You know, subscribe, you know, and all those ways that you know how that you'll
yes, go. Yes, sir. All the platforms, streaming platforms, we're there. That's right.
Be a friend and not an enemy. Be a don't be a hater. Be a damn congratulator. That's right.
That's right. Rate, subscribe, of course, the Cedric Maxwell Podcast every week. We'll see you guys next week.